Hockey talk. Hockey talk. Hockey talk.
Not the NBA. It's the NHL.
It's hockey.
Christian Fourier, hockey insider.
None of these guys in Boston sports talk radio go to the games.
Let the adults talk hockey, Wiggy. You sit over there.
Sure, old-time hockey.
Like Eddie Shore.
Yeah.
They always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
That's why I played hockey, because, yeah, you either play hockey or you have to go hunt bear.
We got a shout-out Razor. We worked on some screen this summer, so that donut's for him.
Oh, listen to the sway man there, working in our guy, Andrew Raycroft. He of Nesson and WEEI. It is 11:25 straight up, and he joins us on the Harbor One hotline. Razor, good morning, and thank you for the flexibility over a crazy couple of days last week. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I had a feeling that Friday I had no chance. So I had actually booked a bunch of other things because I just had that sense that's what the Patriots were up to. So, yeah, happy to jump on now. And now that the Belichick sightings are long gone, we can officially just talk about a good hockey team rather than a football team that is suspect.
Well, talk about how you have shaped Jeremy Swayman into the player that he is today after hearing that compliment at the end of the Andrew Raycroft Hockey Talk Open.
Oh, yeah. Lots of credit needs to be given to me for what for his all-star, for his entire growing up. He was being very kind and certainly putting me on the spot with that one. So. He's a great kid.
Well, did you tell him anything? Really did you seriously tell him anything? Or do you guys ever kind of talk shop?
No, well, I jumped on the ice with him in the summer. So there was a few times where he had ice and goalie Bob was away in the sun. So he's like, hey, let's do some drills and hang out. So we played a little golf and hung out. So, no, I mean, we did some stuff, but I definitely didn't give him too many pointers. Just kind of, you know, shot the breeze a little bit with him. So he's, again... He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, Razor doesn't want that Dan Orlovsky heat once he said that he was helping Mac Jones. So it feels like Razor's trying to take that, have a step back and be like, the kid's okay.
Yeah, but he actually went on the ice.
On the ice with him.
I don't think Orlovsky ever went out to some football field and said, let's throw balls into the bucket like we're doing a fade route. I don't think they ever did that.
No, Orlovsky's just trying to get his nose in the mix, and that's what I'm trying not to do.
Yeah.
Dan Orlovsky. That's what I'm actually trying to help, and I'm also picking winners, not Mac Jones, too.
Whoa! Shots fired! Jeremy Swayman gets an All-Star nod, and the next thing you know, here's Razor.
He's been feeling that way all along. He just knows it's safe to go in the water now.
Now he can do it. What do you make of some of the comments from Jeremy Swayman there, Razor? I know it was kind of unprompted where he talked about arbitration. We know Linus is down right now. Although Swayman did say, hey, that guy's like a Viking. He'll be back soon. He's double tough. So it's not like he threw Big Lean under the bus. But is Swayman kind of feeling himself a little bit and getting that confidence to where he feels like he can start to express himself a little bit more?
He almost always toes the line and does a great job with his interviews and saying the right thing. And I liked it. In the simple fact that it was personal, and we know arbitration in sports is personal. To sit in those rooms, like you said, I think you just called it how it was. I know guys, my friends have done and sat in those rooms, and it's brutal. And I think his ability to let it go and just play his game and separate the two, but certainly that came out the other night, and I don't expect it to be lingering. I don't expect it to happen often. I think it was just kind of he felt like the moment could happen then after, he's probably pretty proud of being an All-Star.
Yeah, and I can easily see him like reminiscing back to when he was doing going through the arbitration and they were telling him all the reasons why he wasn't worthy of more money. And then here he is kind of in a way getting the last laugh, at least for now, with the All-Star nod, right?
Exactly, and that's at the other side of it, right? If you're an organization, you want a guy like that. you want a Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady had the exact same. You want that kind of mentality in your organization. You don't want to have a guy who went to arbitration, heard all those things, and then, you know, cut his nose off to spite his face by playing poorly and said, well, you guys were right and get rid of me. He's gone the other way and proving everybody wrong. And you want that guy in your room. You want that guy in your crease, and you want that guy in your organization.
Andrew Raycroft of Nesson and, of course, of WEEI here with Gresh and Fourier breaking down everything Bruins related. Jim Montgomery after the game had a pretty interesting quote of the, hey, we were in X amount of time zones and X amount of games and X amount of days and had all the numbers and the stats worked out. And it seemed that he was, I don't know about pleased would be the right word, but he was okay with the way the team has played the last 2 weeks. What did you make of Monty's comments after last night's game?
Well, I thought he was bang on. And while I was sitting up at 2 in the morning all last week watching overtime game after shootout game, just trying to get out of that building like 10 minutes earlier so I could get 10 more minutes of sleep, praying for it not to go to overtime. By the third one, I got a little bit of sleep. I was thinking, you know what? Three overtime losses against these teams in this travel stretch over 4 days is actually good. They could have easily lost those games 3-0 and found a way to justify it. And then to back it up with an overtime win in St. Louis and then come home and dominate the way they did yesterday. This team works in 5-game stretches, and they got 7 points out of 10. A 700% winning is where they're at in the entire season. It puts them in second place in the entire National Hockey League. It turned out to be an absolutely fantastic 9 days, and if they had been given 7 points before it started, they would have taken them and skipped the whole thing. So I think it was very genuine, and I think they feel great now that they have 11 of the next 13 games on home ice.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I saw some stat about how far ahead, like how many like road games they have banked already. Like more than any other team in the NHL right now.
Yeah, they're +5 now. They were +6 after that St. Louis game halfway through the season. So they've got a ton of away home games, I should say, coming up, and they've just got the one more trip, four more games out to Western Canada, and that's everything else is Eastern. Everything else they're in their bed at 12 o'clock after games. So they've certainly grinded it out. And Brad Marchand said it the other night, too, where he was asked about the dog days typically being January, February. And he said, feels like we've already gone through the dog days because of what our November, December schedule was and all the road games we had to play. So this team will be energized. I think they have the opportunity to go on a run here in the next couple weeks just with all their home games and maybe make some more room between themselves and at least the third, fourth place teams in the division.
Razor, is this team getting better at handling third periods? I know we've had those discussions over the past month or so. Do you think in terms of close and late, closing things out, things like that, are you seeing the kind of improvement that you want to here as the season's gone along?
Yeah, I think it's getting better. I think it's still difficult, especially when you're playing teams that are fighting for their lives. Because that's the NHL, the playoffs have started for a dozen teams. I mean, you have to win every night. You have to keep pace. And the Bruins are playing some of those desperate teams when it comes to the third period. So the key for me in these third periods for them is staying out of the penalty box. They've taken a lot of minor penalties over the last couple of weeks, and it's taxing. And when they don't have Forbert, they don't have Carlo, the real key for them in the third periods is to stay out of the box. And we saw that against New Jersey, and hopefully we see that continuing. So you can always get better at closing out. You can get better at 6-on-5, but I think they're getting a little more comfortable being in the close games.
So we're talking to Andrew Razor Raycroft, and I'm curious, almost at the – are we at the halfway point now, or is the All-Star game the official – halfway point?
No, officially we're past the halfway. So yeah, we have 43 games now. Technically it's kind of the All-Star break. Like, they've got these next 5-6 games, I believe, get to the break, then you get your 10 days off, and that really feels kind of halfway for everybody.
So who's impressed you the most so far,
player wise or team wise?
Player wise on the Bruins.
Player wise,
yeah, maybe Prince a dark Frederick. Horse maybe. Oh, okay, why?
Trent Frederick's been awesome. His ability to step up, he had career highs in goals, assists last season, and we're wondering if he could take another step, and he has. He's becoming a legit top 10 power forward in the league. He scored a great empty netter again last night, and the reason I think why is last year his skating continued to get better, and that carried through the summer, and I think his hockey sense, his little bit of experience has grown and filled in to that skating ability that he's gained as well. So he's getting to play so much quicker. He's on top of the puck so much quicker, and all of that's translating into confidence. So he's going to crush his career highs from last season. He could be a 40-point guy this year, and that's a huge upgrade and something that I don't think we were going to really expect him to make that kind of a jump. So for me, he's the guy that's really put things together that I didn't expect at this level.
Razor, I know that the trade market is complicated. The Bruins do not have a lot of cap space. They would have to subtract from the main roster to be able to add someone, given how they really don't have a lot of money to spend. We've talked about this before in terms of there are a lot of teams that are up against it. But do you think as we start to head towards this All-Star break, there will be teams that will be able to either start to figure it out, or some teams will kind of run the white flag up the flagpole and say, all right, we know we're really not in it, and start liquidating some assets? Do you see some movement coming in terms of the trade deadline and the hope that the Bruins can maybe find somebody cheap to help them get better?
I keep asking people that actually know what's going on in the league, and it feels and seems to them that it's after the All-Star break. So All-Star breaks in two and a half weeks, trade deadlines in about 7 to 8 weeks. It feels like people in the league think it'll open up just a little bit after the All-Star break, but everybody's really trying to count their pennies, and it's a, because of the way they calculate on a daily basis, every day counts so much to these teams that they feel like it will have to be close to the deadline to open things up. Somebody will probably jump in a little early to try and take advantage, and once that happens, hopefully it breaks. I hope the Bruins are involved. I don't know what they can pull off or how they can do it, but you know the way that Don's done business over the last 5 years, that he's going to be working the phones on a daily basis to try and make it happen.
Good stuff from our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft with us on the Harbor One Hotline, and back to a normal sleeping schedule after all the craziness last week.
Most importantly, correct. So, yeah, drive home safe today. We got some real winter in New England. I love it. Like, real snow. It's been nice.
Oh, boy.
Wait, hey, Razor, do you do the whole backyard ice rink at your house? You do?
Yeah, so done it this year until last week. I put it in because I was watching the weather, and this snow today is not making me too happy. I'm really nervous about how it looks, but we're going to get like real cold 5 days here that my kids should be able to use it for at least one day. So we'll take it here in New England.
It's a lot of work for one. I just feel like the dads that do that are really kind of have a screw loose. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, I honestly, it's just complete guilt. Like, my kids are on my case nonstop. It's not a labor of love for me in any way whatsoever. It's complete guilt that at least 15 years from now, they can't complain that I didn't do a race.
There you go.
I feel like that's basically what I'm doing. Like, okay. One less therapy session for them because I'm doing it.
That a boy. But what do you mean? You can't say that to the therapist. I actually built you an outdoor rink.
Exactly.
Good thinking, actually. Good job by you.
Yeah.
Razor, thanks, buddy.
Thanks. I don't think it'll help.
There you go. That's right. Razor, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Can't wait. Thanks, guys.